Good morning. I want to welcome all of you to Everybody's Church, the First Presbyterian Church of Birmingham, Michigan, where we serve Christ by cultivating mission, inclusion, and community. Several announcements this morning. This week, starting today through next Sunday, the 10th through the 17th, you can see the announcement in First Things that we are collecting bedding for children. You can go to various places and buy sort of bedding in a bag, all of it together. We encourage you to do that, and then the Furniture Bank of Southeast Michigan will come pick it all up, and we'll distribute it to the families with children who come to them for beds. Second thing is tonight at 5 is our Rejoicing Spirit service. It's online. Come join us. Next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. is In the Presence of the Holy. It is a contemplative service led by our music director, Andrew Herbrook. So we encourage you to tune in for that or be present for that. On the 21st, Dr. Mbika Roberson will be here, our next Matthew 25 speaker, to talk about education and race. And then on the 24th, Trunk or Treat. We are hosting a Trunk or Treat. You can sign up online and come with your SUV filled with candy. So we encourage you to do that. And with those announcements made, let us prepare our hearts to worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship. God, you are the Holy One.
Whose throne is the praise of your people.
Our ancestors trusted in you.
And you listened to their cries for help.
Our ancestors trusted in you.
Thank you.
been through many things, and in many ways we have shown how God's love and God's glory works in our world through our lives. And in some ways we wonder, could we have done something different? Could we have done something more? And so we bring those moments to God, trusting that God will hear us and understand and grant us a renewal. Please join me in the unison prayer of confession. God, who always listens to our hearts, forgive us when we spend more time speaking than listening, when we fail to listen to the voices of those on the margins, so that we might be your agents of love and reconciliation. Slow our speaking and open our ears, that we might serve all those in need. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let us offer our silent confession. Amen. Siblings, we can be heard by God, and we are heard by God, and we are granted that renewal. Another week lies ahead and more chances to show the world who God is through the way we live our lives, because in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
Let us pray together using the printed words of our prayer for illumination. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
God, who always listens, allow your word to remind us that we are in your ears, listening to the needs of those near and far. In Jesus' name, amen. The First Testament lesson is from Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, and can be found on page 50 of your Pew Bible. Listen to the word of the Lord. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of the slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn our attention now to our New Testament text, which is out of the book of James, James's letter to the early church. And we're in chapter 1, looking at verses 19 through 25. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger doesn't produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they looked like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. The word of the Lord. Dad. 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 Dr. Judson. What, Katie? That's one of our great family stories. I don't know how old Katie was when that happened, probably late elementary school or early middle school. And she was trying to get my attention, and obviously, I was not listening. And I think of that, of her trying to get my attention. It was even before cell phones and tablets. I was probably mesmerized by some shiny bauble or a TV show. Oh, the newspaper. What newspaper? What is that? I don't know. Anyway. And it just makes me think about how hard it is to really listen. I mean, think about all the distractions we have. Tablets, phones, text messages, to-do lists, grocery lists. What am I going to kill and eat for dinner? What do I have to do this afternoon? What do I have to do around the house? Oh wait, somebody else texting me, someone else calling me, right? Maybe it's harder to listen today than ever before. Any of you find it kind of hard to really focus in? And so it's hard, and yet it's not nearly as hard as listening like God listens. Now you may be wondering, okay, John, what do you mean, listen like God listens? I mean, doesn't God just listen? Well, in some ways, yes, and yet God listens in a unique way. And to see that, what we have to do quickly is jump back to that Exodus text that David read this morning. Because in this text, we discover how God listens. And so the first thing about God listening is God listens to the cries of those who are in distress, even when they are not crying out to God. Listen again. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Notice the writer doesn't say they cried out to God. They're just crying out. They had forgotten about God. They weren't sure who this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was. They were simply crying out, hoping to be heard. And then out of the slavery, their cry for help rose to God. God listens to those who are hurting, who are in pain, even when they don't know to cry out to God. The second thing about God listening is that when God listens, God remembers God's commitments. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Thinking about God maybe forgetting, God having to remember. But the idea of remembering is that it brings to God's mind these commitments that God has made to the people to bless them and to make them a blessing to the world. That's the covenant promise. And so hearing, listening, God listens to the cries and God remembers God's promises, God's commitments. And then finally, God hears, God remembers, and God acts. God doesn't just listen and say, oh, well, sorry, folks. God acts, and that's the whole rest of the book of Exodus. It's all about God acting, about God freeing, about God fulfilling God's commitments. Now, again, you may say, John, this is all well and good, this is interesting, but what does it have to do with me? The answer is, if we listen to James, we are supposed to listen like God listens. We are supposed to listen like God listens. So we jump back to James, or jump forward to James. He begins, "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen." In other words, one of our primary duties and responsibilities is to listen. Now, a lot of people have tried to explain, well, exactly what this listening means. Pastors have said it means listen to the pastor. Biblical scholars have said, well, it means listening to Scripture. People who are into contemplative prayer say, well, it's really just listening directly to God. That's what it's all about. Okay, so I'm gonna give you a fourth, and I'm gonna argue that what James means by listening here is listening like God listens. And there are a couple of reasons for this. The first is that James is a good Jew. I think sometimes we forget that Jesus' disciples were good Jews. They were steeped in Jewish tradition, in Jewish scripture, in the way their tradition understood God and viewed God. Now, he was a messianic Jew. He was a follower of Jesus. And yet I would argue that the Hebrew scriptures informed how he used language. And so part of what I want to say is I believe that when he says, be quick to listen, meaning make listening the first thing you do. Okay, slow to anger, slow to speak. The first thing you do is you listen like God listens. You listen for the cries of those who are in distress, because this is part of what's at the heart of Judaism. So that's the first reason I want to argue that. The second reason is where listening leads us for James. So here we go. You must understand, my beloved, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Doesn't produce God's righteousness. Now let me say, God's righteousness is not code language for personal perfection. Okay, sometimes we think about being righteous means we're religiously and perfect. That's not what God's righteousness is. God's righteousness is God's keeping God's commitments to God's people. That throughout the Old Testament, when they speak about God's righteousness, it is about God keeping God's commitments. And so part of what we are supposed to do, where our listening is supposed to take us, is to be those who understand our commitments. We are to remember our commitments, which is to be God's righteousness. And the reason speaking and anger don't lead us to that same place of fulfilling our commitments as God followers, as Jesus followers, is because they shut off our listening. Any of you ever know someone who speaks more than they listen? Any of you ever know someone like that? Right, because the more we're speaking, the less we're listening. If we're talking about what we believe and what we want to do and what, we're not listening. We're not being reminded of our commitments. And the more angry we become, anger literally, it shuts down our listening. Have you ever noticed that? The more angry you become, the less capable you become of listening. And so when we spend all of our time speaking and all of our time being angry, we forget, we don't see these commitments we've made to be God's righteousness. Which is why listening like God listens, listening to the cries of those in distress, the cries of those in need, leads us to remember that commitment to be God's righteousness, to be those who help God fulfill God's promises to the world. And the final reason I believe that this is listening like God listens, that that's what James is talking about, is where it finally leads him. He says this, "But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror. They look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they look like. There are many mornings I want to forget what I look like in the mirror, so this is not a bad thing. But another way to think about this, what James is saying here, how many of you have ever looked up something on the internet to learn how to do it, to do something by looking it up on the internet? Okay. How many of you then have done it immediately after looking it up? Right? And usually it seems relatively simple. You have someone there explaining it to you, whatever it is. I look up stuff on Premiere Pro and Photoshop and all sorts of other things. Now, how many of you several weeks later come back to do it again and you think, oh, I know how to do that, and you really forgot how to do it, right? Okay, so this is what he's talking about, is that if we don't do something, we don't act on our commitments because we've heard the cry of those in distress. If we don't act on it, then we forget. We begin to forget what our commitments are. We begin to forget what we've heard. And so what James is asking us to do is set up a positive feedback loop, okay? And the positive feedback loop goes like this. You listen to the cries of those in distress, the cries of those in pain, the cries of those in need. Then you remember your commitments to be the righteousness of God, to be the hands, feet, love of God, and then you actually do it. And where that leads you, when you do something, that leads you back into being able to hear the cries even more fully, which then leads you back into a deeper and more profound sense of what your commitments are. And then it leads you back to doing, and you do even more. And this positive feedback loop begins to recreate our character. It begins to recreate who we are as followers of God in Jesus Christ. Listening like God. If you want to see what that looks like, one way is to look at Matthew 25 here in our church. It's beginning with listening to the cries of people in color who are in distress, who are in pain. And then that leads us to understanding what our commitments are, remembering our commitments to be people of love and justice, to love all of our neighbors, to bring about justice in the world. And then that is leading us now through our lean-in events to action, to figuring out, well, what should we do? What can we do? How can we do that? And the hope is that this becomes a positive feedback cycle. That once we begin doing something, it will help us hear better, and it will deepen our commitments and lead us. But my friends, in our world today, there are lots of people crying out in pain and in distress. People who struggle with depression and mental illness. People who are being evicted from their apartments and homes and are becoming homeless. Members of the LGBTQIA community, especially trans people, are crying out in pain. There are just folks all around us. And so the question is, will we listen? Will we listen to their cries? And when we do, will we remember our commitments to be the righteousness of God? And then will we be doers rather than hearers? That's really the question. And so that's my challenge for all of us, and I mean us, on this day. is to ask ourselves, how am I listening like God? Am I listening like God? Am I willing to listen like God? To hear the cries, to remember my commitment to being the righteousness of God, and then to do something about it. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you hear our cries, that you heard the cries of people in slavery, that you heard the cries of people who are lost and alone, that you hear the cries of all of those who lift their voices to the heavens. Help us to listen as well, that we might be those who reflect your love, your commitments into this, your world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. God, we have come so far. We understand our bodies more than we ever have. We take care of our lungs and our hearts with medicine, with monitors. We take care of our skin with lotions and medicine. We treat these organs differently, though, than we treat our mind. And we have a long way to go to understand our brain. We ask you to be with people who are at the forefront, helping to understand what mental injuries and illness are. Guide them, help them understand how you have knit us together, how our bodies communicate and what controls our thoughts. Help them make the connections and the patterns that help them see those patterns that you have laid there so that we can better understand ourselves and your creation. Be with all of those who are in the profession to help people who are dealing with these mental illnesses and injuries. Help them to have an extra measure of patience and understanding. Help them to see the patterns and understand. And God, we ask you to be with everyone who is struggling with a mental illness or an injury. Help them to be closer to living and thriving with that mental illness. Give them patience as they figure out their medicines. Give their families patience as they begin to understand their behaviors. Lead them to friendships and loving environments that will remind them of their worth. And lead us as a community into a better understanding so that we can have wholeness in our lives, where we have spiritual strength, physical strength, emotional strength, and mental strength. And we pray this in full confidence, knowing that we have come so far, and that together we can go farther. And we look back on the words that Jesus taught us, and we pray them again today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
benediction. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one of you from this moment forward and forevermore. Amen.